KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app on this Thanksgiving afternoon. The Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. I'm quite sure if you've been listening, we were talking about the lead up to Black Friday. What should we expect? Is it going to be chaos? And I was wondering whether Black Friday has turned into something else, as I was reading you a list earlier in the show of these major retailers who are electing to stay closed on Thanksgiving, not open at 6 o'clock for a supposed Black Friday rush. And joining me right now is KFI's own Blake Troiley, who has been covering this. And Blake, am I close to this in the sense that Black Friday is evolving in a way?
It's absolutely evolving. And in fact, I actually stacked my sound bites in a certain way, but I think we might want to reverse it. I was told that a lot of these big retailers are, you know, essentially, they don't have the pressure this year to roll out the deals because they don't have the inventory stacked up. So they really don't have this immense pressure to move the inventory. But at the same time, and we'll hear it here in the clip, you could kind of see how they're thinking about this. So this is, I believe, this will be bite two, I think.
Retailers were very proactive in getting product to the stores, whether it was, you know, air freighting or investing in additional, you know, trucking options domestically. So we actually are seeing better inventory levels than originally anticipated. They're still much lower than in previous years, but it's not as dire of a picture as was painted a few months ago.
Well, that's a different point. I knew I had a 50-50 shot at getting that one right. But essentially, she was saying that there are a lot of these businesses, they have the pressure on them. They have this consumer base that's saying, look, we expect you to roll out a Black Friday deal. But with the limited inventory, they're saying, yeah, but we really want to make sure we're holding enough for Cyber Monday. And that really shows you a pivotal moment in the way they're thinking, because just years ago, no retailer would have said, oh, you know, let's make sure we have enough for Cyber Monday. It would be, let's get rid of the inventory. If we don't have a Cyber Monday, then so be it. So okay. It's evolving.
I guess my next question is this more an issue of, let's get through this particular holiday season because of the supply chain issues and we'll revisit it next year? Or is this going to be a true evolutionary change where, no, we think that Cyber Monday, big picture, is going to be the bigger seller, if only because of the pandemic and people now are accustomed to living their retail lives online?
One of the things that she touched on, by the way, that's Gabrielle Santanello. She's a retail consultant, so she's an expert on all things retail. And one thing she said we're not going to be seeing, and I'm sure you've seen these reports, we're not going to be seeing these doorbuster deals. And I think that speaks volumes to how they're perceiving Black Friday. Because again, they're not even really, these retailers aren't even doing it the traditional way at this point. So I do think we're seeing a big pivotal step. And, you know, we put this tweet out, and we've seen the response of people saying, I really don't care about Black Friday, more or less, or I'm not going to be participating in Black Friday, more or less. So I think the consumer, you know, is definitely changing as well.
I'd have to think that people have figured it out on a basic level where, why is it I'm going to stand in line starting at 6 o'clock in the evening on Thanksgiving, leave my family or whatever, to hopefully get $200 off on a TV that I already have that I bought last year from Black Friday or for someone else? It doesn't seem like the risk, reward, and payoff is as much, even under best circumstances.
I do want to actually point out one statistic, because we will see, I think you still throughout the weekend will see a lot of in-person shoppers this year. And when you speak about this year, we talk about these supply chain issues and some of these shipping delays. This is a stat I found from the International Council of Shopping Centers. They say that 52% of people plan to buy in store because they're worried about the shipping issues. They want to make sure that they have their hands on the tangible product.
Right. Don't deliver it. Don't ship it. I'll come get it.
Exactly. But see, I look at it as a great excuse, right? I mean, if I don't get anybody anything, it's like, those shipping delays.
I just say I had to work. I couldn't shop.
It was a PlayStation 5. Mom, it was a Versace watch. But, you know, those shipping delays. What do you do?
They're just bitter and mad after that, though. You just told them what they didn't get.
Have you traditionally been a Black Friday shopper? Is it something
Never.
You've been into?
Me Never. Neither. I was Cyber Monday before they officially called it Cyber Monday. The whole idea of going in a store, waiting in line, dealing with people, you know, brushing up against you, the impatience of shoppers and workers alike was not appealing to me. I just got in the habit of starting to buy stuff online, holiday Thanksgiving weekend around there, and in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'd be done with my holiday shopping. The whole idea of getting in line and fighting for a parking space and cussing people out, it's not enjoyable.
The whole time you're fighting not to fall on your face because your belly is so full of food, too.
It's all bad in that regard.
I remember years ago, I grew up out in Claremont. We went to one of the malls out there. I forget which one it was, but I was riding that tryptophan high, and I'm just, my eyes are falling over. And I remember one of the food concessions was open. And I just remember thinking, not a chance.
Yeah, I just know that there was a better way I could spend my 8 hours and be more productive in a shopping sense and a time management sense. And so Cyber Monday, when it started to become a thing, was like, yeah, thank you for pointing me towards a day for these deals, because I was not planning to go to Target or wherever on a Thursday night, Friday morning for an item which I know is going to be on a similar sale 2.5 days later.
It's almost likened to the movie business. You say you come from entertainment background. Yep. A lot of people don't want to go to the theater. They'll just wait for it to hit the streaming services.
Hello. And a lot of these are almost simultaneous now for a number of reasons. Warner Brothers is simultaneous for 2021. And Disney is a 45-day window. If it's not a must-see, I'll wait a month and a half. I can do that.
Yeah.
There's so much other things to occupy my time. But what else as far as Black Friday should we take away from this moment in time?
Again, I think, like you pointed out, it is this pivot. We are starting to see the pivot because, I think if it was still important enough to these retailers, they would make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They would absolutely make it happen. So the fact that they're not, they're just kind of going, hey, we're closed. A lot of them are closed on Thanksgiving. A lot of malls aren't even opening till mid-morning on Saturday. That says everything you need to know.
I wonder, and this is just more philosophical, I wouldn't expect you to have an answer for this, but I would like your thoughts on this. I wonder, are we seeing the official sunset of malls and mall shopping?
I hope not. And I've heard a really good theory on what we might be seeing, that people are going to be, the malls are going to have a different purpose, in that they will be a place for people to go experience the product before they buy them. But how do you monetize that? That's the real question. How do you make money doing that?
Well, if you can get them in the store, then I guess you can go ahead, what I say, consummate the purchase at that point, because you have them right there. But there used to be a time where the whole thought of buying shoes or certain items that you didn't have that tactile experience with would not work. And a lot of dot-coms failed because of that. It's like, I'm not buying groceries or having food shipped to me online. And now we think like DoorDash or whatever, Uber Eats, not a big deal. But I don't know if malls can survive when I know I can just click, click, click. Oh, Amazon is going to get here in 24 hours and I don't have to leave my house. I don't have to fight with anyone. And assuming no supply chain issues, it's going to be here literally within 24 hours. I can do all my shopping at home. When everyone finally gets that, I don't know how a mall can survive.
Probably from, people like me who apparently are very nostalgic about these places.
And nostalgia, I don't know. I don't know how long that lasts in the grand scheme of things.
Well, and it's really going to depend on the health of the mall, right? Because when the mall loses that excitement, then it's going to get really tough. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think everybody thinks about that. Everybody thinks, what's the future of this shopping experience as we move into a newer one?
So Black Friday, as we close, Black Friday's not dead, but it might have a makeover.
It certainly seems as if it's transitioning to be more of a day that we have to, keep Cyber Monday in mind on when we're planning, if that makes sense. And that, to me, seems like a big transition.
Blake, it's always good to see you, my friend.
Absolutely.
When we come back, small business shout out here on the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. It's the Gary and Shannon Show on this Thanksgiving. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. It's now time for our small business shout out, brought to you by SoCalGas. And SoCalGas is here to help by offering rebates on qualifying energy saving natural gas equipment for your small business. Save up to $1,000 on tankless hot water heaters, commercial fryers, and more. They are committed to helping you meet and exceed the challenges of being a small business owner. See how they can help by visiting SoCalGas.com/rebates. And for our small business shout out on this Thanksgiving Day, I'm pleased to be joined by Brian Williams, co-founder of eFoodie. And let me tell you about eFoodie very quickly. It's a deal website that primarily works with restaurants and focuses on the local college community surrounding Cal State Fullerton. And you might have heard my conversation last segment with Blake as far as how we even conceive of just how we purchase food these days, how it's changed so much in just the past few years. And Brian, I want to bring you on the line right now. Brian, first, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Thanks so much for having me on the air.
Oh, absolutely. And tell us, what was the inspiration behind eFoodie?
The main inspiration was we were sort of born post-Groupon. Groupon, of course, you know, would provide deals that people would buy, and they would go into the restaurants or go into, you know, whatever type of business was offering the deal. And, you know, a lot of times I was hearing from merchants that'd be one and dones, and the commission split on those weren't very favorable for the restaurants. And we always felt like there was a need for, you know, a platform that could connect restaurants with people in the local community and, you know, provide special deals in a way that was more equitable for the restaurants. And so we decided at the time to come up with an email platform where members could choose to sign up, and the restaurants would partner with us on special deals and promotions that we would then send out to our members via email. They could then choose to download the deal, show a deal code when they come in to redeem it. And it was a much more equitable split for the restaurant, but it also was you know, a great way to get hyper-locals in there. You know, with Groupon, mm-hmm. sometimes people were buying these things and going 20, 30 miles, and again, one and done. But when we started out, we planned to be, you know, primarily built around area residents, local business employees, and because we were close to Cal State Fullerton, the college community. The way things worked out, the college community really adopted eFoodie in a big way very quickly. It went viral. And that was kind of the inspiration. We do have a mobile app that launched a few years back, too, that we've added, free mobile app. But we always wanted to make sure that the restaurants were able to connect with the local community and that they were able to drive new guests into the restaurants for a very good, you know, small fee, a good ROI from their standpoint.
My guest right now is Brian Williams, co-founder of eFoodie, which is eFoodie.com. And I know for a lot of people, the pandemic was disastrous for small businesses, for restaurants. But I would also say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, that the pandemic was a blessing in the sense that it allowed restaurants to reconceive of how they could reach other people. People became more comfortable with ordering through third-party apps and so forth. How did the pandemic specifically impact your business and restaurants?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the pandemic's been going on and still it's getting better, of course, and things are trending in the right direction. But for 20 months, so many of the restaurateurs I've dealt with have been dealing with very challenging environments. Of course, the pandemic in and of itself was a huge problem because, you know, it forced the restaurants in many cases to shut down or limit hours. And, you know, they've certainly been struggling and they've had to pivot much as eFoodie has, and try to find new ways to get people in the door. One of the big problems that's going on right now that gets a little bit of publicity, but maybe not enough, is now that demand is coming back for the restaurants, there's a lot of issues with staffing, and a lot of the restaurants are ready to, you know, sort of get back to life, we're never going to be there, at least for a while, but kind of back to pre-pandemic normals, and the staffing has become a problem. But I think that's another area where, you know, eFoodie can help. We definitely have tried to, you know, get the word out there for these restaurants and get people in the door. But we've also been able to introduce platforms where it isn't as staff dependent. So being able to put deals out there and let people know that they can order online or they can order for delivery. A lot of restaurants now are choosing to go away from the traditional delivery services, at least some of them, because, again, the commission split on that or the takeaway is kind of difficult. Some of the delivery apps charge upwards of 30% of the total check. So we're trying to help the restaurants adapt and pivot around these challenges and find creative and constructive ways where they can, you know, where they can still have a profitable business model. And you know, margins in the restaurant industry aren't very large. And I hear so many people say, well, hey, if these restaurants can't, you know, put out X amount of dollars for the employees, well, they just don't deserve to be in business. But, you know, they're a huge part of our cultural fabric in so many cities and so many of these small mom and pop restaurants. I mean, they're just clinging by a thread to survive. And what I've even done for a good part of the pandemic is try to offer our services at a significant discount or even free in a lot of cases, especially for our regular clients, because, you know, we want to make sure that they stay strong and healthy, and you know, they do a lot to add to the community at large, and we try to do our best in any way we can to help them connect with, you know, our existing and new members who sign up with eFoodie every day.
Again, I'm speaking with Brian Williams, who is the co-founder of eFoodie. That's e-foodie, F-O-O-D-I-E.com. Very quickly, as I'm running out of time with you, Brian, how do you get these new members, these new restaurants? Do you find them? Do they come to you? How does that relationship begin?
You know, a little bit of both. And with regard to our, I guess from the member standpoint, our members really like to share eFoodie with their friends, their colleagues, their coworkers, whoever it might be. So the membership part of it kind of takes care of itself. I mean, when we've got something going on, we'll try to get the word out there if it's like a special, really special deal going on. Or we do an annual event in downtown Fullerton, for example, called the Crave and Crawl, where we get about 30 restaurants doing free food and drink samples for the night. You know, from the restaurant standpoint, we'll usually try to reach out to them, but I've got clients that contact me. I mean, I've got one, just an example, one great partner in downtown Fullerton called Garcia South of the Border. Really, really generous individual. And just as an example of something kind of holiday themed, we got a deal right now where any member can drop off a new unwrapped toy and then get a free entree up to a $15 value. And that's the whole part. You know, we've got restaurants that give back, you know, to the community in a big way. He's just one example. But, you know, a lot of times the restaurants will connect with us because they've heard about it from other restaurants and they, you know, they want to get an exclusive deal or promotion out to our members. So it's a good symbiotic relationship. You know, our members are looking for deals and ways to introduce new restaurants to themselves, and the restaurants themselves are looking for new members. So we feel like it's a good marriage all the way around.
That's Brian Williams. He's co-founder of eFoodie. That's e-foodie.com. They have an app as well, as you can get involved that way. Brian, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad to see that your business is thriving and growing as we come out of this pandemic. I think you are indicative of how small businesses and the ingenuity and entrepreneurship of small businesses cannot be overcome by just a pandemic. And you're the economic engine of Southern California, and we salute you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate those kind words. And, you know, I think as the pandemic winds down further and further, things will get back to normal. But it's great to be on your show. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all the listeners.
Have a great Thanksgiving. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Gary and Shannon Show. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, and I should not assume that you're familiar with me. Maybe this is the first time you've heard me. I'm host of The Mo Kelly Show, which airs on KFI from 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, sometimes from 7 to 10 p.m. on Sundays, but that's a complicated story. But just you can find me on weekends here at KFI. And if you've ever listened to me, or you don't know, you usually find a nice mix of politics and entertainment and even sports, is because we'll talk about anything over the course of a day, just you and your personal lives. And that's how I try to approach a show that I may do. But this Saturday, as in 2 days from now, is Small Business Saturday. And that last conversation I had with Brian Williams, co-founder of eFoodie, just warmed my heart. And we're going to be doing that all Saturday for Small Business Saturday on the Mo Kelly Show. So from 6 to 8 p.m., we will be doing nothing but highlighting small businesses here in Southern California. And I just retweeted the link if you would like to have your small business featured. What we do is we will take an ad basically from you, where you will give us the name of your business, what you do, what you sell, but it's put in the form of like an advertisement. You can also put down your a promotion or special. Hey, mention Mo Kelly or mention KFI AM 640, and we'll give you a 10% discount. And we'll read that on the air. And also, we will be taking your calls at two different points during the show, where you'll be able to give a live on the air 30-second commercial. Now, if you want to put all sorts of production value in it, that's up to you. but it's going to be done via the phone lines, and you'll have 30 seconds, not 31, not 32, definitely not 35, to get it all in as far as the name of the business, what you're offering, your social media, your website address, your phone number, all that, and it's just 2 hours of great fun. We're not talking about anything news-related, not talking about anything going on in the world. We're just talking about you, your business, your contributions, your hard work, your labors of love, and how you serve Southern California. If you would like to be part of it, if you like your business featured part of it, we have some rules and restrictions. We try to keep this for small businesses, which are non-franchisee in nature. I appreciate the hard work that many of you do for like not to pick on you, but Subway or something, but it's not for someone who owns a franchise location of something. It's something that we want to do for the small businesses, which have been created out of basically nothing, out of just your hard work, your individual ingenuity, your vision. And if you go to my Twitter right now, at Mr. Mokelly, M-R-M-O-K-E-L-L-Y, I just retweeted out the link if you want to sign up. And it's really, and I'm not saying this to gas you, I'm saying it's true. It's really filling up fast. And 2 hours goes very quickly on the air. If you haven't heard the show before, you can go to KFIAM640.com and put Small Business Saturday in the search field, and the most recent show will come up, and you'll get a good idea of what it sounds like. We're not changing the format too much. And you get to hear how we'll be reading your advertisements, your promotions, how people call in with their advertisements. Some are very highly produced. Some are very folksy and not produced at all. But there's a nice wide cross-section of people and their livelihoods. And this year, of all years, it's most important to be able to make sure that there is a spotlight firmly focused and placed on you and your businesses. Because if you still have a small business coming through this pandemic, you need to be applauded. You need to be saluted. And I'm not saying that for effect. I'm not saying that to gas you. I'm not saying that to give you undue praise. I'm saying it because it's true. There are a lot of businesses, as I started out today, there are a lot of businesses which are no longer here specifically because of the pandemic. Maybe the business did not survive. Maybe the business owner did not survive because of COVID-19. And the least I think that I can do, and this is a show we do every year, but this year particularly, we want to be able to celebrate you and your business. So if you check me out right now on Twitter at Mr. Mokelly, M-R-M-O-K-E-L-L-Y, you can also find a link at my Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Mokelly Show. We have about maybe 40 hours left to sign up. We're going to cut off the list probably early Saturday morning, because we're getting an even larger response, which is a good thing, but is also a difficult thing. We want to make sure that everyone has ample time to be featured on the show. So we may be cutting off the list a little bit earlier than previous years, because the demand is such, you know, it's just more than ever before coming out of the pandemic. So check it out there. There are only like 4 or 5 fields to fill out to be in Small Business Saturday. It's real simple. I would recommend write out your information at home first. Read it out loud, so you know what it sounds like. Make sure that we can pronounce any names or websites or anything which may be difficult to figure out when we're on the air. And it's just that simple. It's 2 hours of great fun. Great, great fun. It's funny because there's some unintended, unexpected moments every single year, either from your phone calls or your ads that you send into us. So let's make Small Business Saturday wonderful for not only you and your business, but for everybody in Southern California and beyond. Just got a shout out for some people who are listening right now in North Dakota. So KFI has a tremendous reach and impact. You don't know. I mean, there are more than 200,000 people listening right now, right now. We get about that many people listening on the weekends, especially in the evening. You don't know how many people are going to be listening, how many potential customers that you'll be reaching. And also, if you're part of Small Business Saturday, we will keep your information as part of the list, your deal, your business, your contact information as part of the master list, which will be featured on KFIAM640.com throughout the holiday season. So it's not just one night. It's all through the holidays. And of course, if you get online with us, and I should say on the phones, you'll be able to get a podcast version of the show that you can use and edit for your future
advertisements as you see fit. This is the number one news talk station in America. More people will be able to hear your business more likely than ever before. So be part of it. Small Business Saturday on the Mo Kelly Show, Saturday. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. Mr. Mo Kelly here. I've always loved Tina Turner. I loved her story, loved her music. Little known fact, she and I have the same birthday, both born on November 26th. Maybe that's part of the reason I have an affinity for Tina Turner. But I grew up listening to her and watching her. I mean, even before she became a solo artist. I'm talking about back in the Ike and Tina days. I'm talking about before Angela Bassett embodied her presence in the biopic. Tina Turner, her story is amazing. Yes, fantastic music career. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. Twice. Not a lot of folks can say that. Once as a part of Ike and Tina, and also as a solo artist. Her story is so fascinating. I don't think you can best appreciate her music without knowing her story. Beyond, of course, the abuse that we all know about that she experienced at the hands of Ike Turner, but just her story from her gospel roots and so forth. A lot of highs, a lot of lows. And if you know anything about the Mo Kelly Show, we love to talk about comic books. And so when all these things come together, it's, wow, this is pretty fascinating. Tina Turner's life is being explored in a new comic book. This biographical publication is coming from Tidal Wave Comics, and it details her upbringing in Tennessee, her musical success, her struggles, which I was kind of hinting at, with former husband Ike Turner, and how that you could almost say was a blessing and a curse. It, because of what she went through with Ike Turner, it pushed her in many ways to become the individual artist and icon that we all know and love. This is publisher Darren G. Davis, what he had to say in a statement. Quote, Turner's life has been seen in documentaries, films, music, Broadway, so why not a comic book? We believe that it is important for readers to have inspiring role models and learn about extraordinary individuals who have overcome challenges to make a difference in the world. Close quote. And if you know anything about Tina Turner's history, she wanted to be the biggest female rock and roll artist in the world. And they basically laughed in her face. I remember hearing the story of Capitol Records laughing in her face at the whole idea of being a rock and roll icon. Black woman coming out of the Deep South, known for soul music, Ike Turner, and a very specific music base, trying to cross over, what they called it at that time, and be specifically a rock and roll icon to the point of filling up music stadiums. I didn't say arenas, okay? I'm not talking about like maybe the Forum, which holds 18,000 people. I'm talking about stadiums which hold 90,000 people, a worldwide phenomenon. And the only person arguably who could see it, who believed in it, who could understand that she was capable of it, was Tina Turner herself. Her own manager at the time didn't even think it was a good idea. Her own manager said that, no, you need to stay within this particular musical realm. You're not going to be accepted. You're not going to be taken seriously. And also she was told at that time after she left Ike that she was too old to be a solo artist and reach the quote unquote younger demographic. I think she was like maybe early 30s at the time. But in terms of music industry and being a solo artist, she was thought to be too old to make a measurable impact in rock music. And of course, she proved everyone wrong. And as they say, the rest is history. But it's real easy to talk about history on the other side of it if you don't know the story leading up to it, what she had to go through it. And the point is, I'm talking about this because they're putting it in a comic book. It's kind of hard, and to be fair, it's kind of hard to tell the story of Tina Turner with only pictures and graphics, because the music is so much a part of any musician's story, but especially Tina Turner's. But this speaks to how comic books and comic book media have been a part of every facet of American life. It is detailed and sort of given a chronology to all of our greatest figures. And if you think about Tina Turner, at the essence of comic books and superhero comics is the superhero. And you can make the case that Tina Turner, because of all the things that she's gone through, all the things that she has overcome, the, I would say, billions of people that she has touched over the decades, she's 82 years old now, that she would be one of the closest things that we have to a superhero. Because what she did was virtually impossible. It was virtually impossible. She was not supposed to make it as a young girl. She was not supposed to make it as a singer with Ike and Tina Turner. She was not supposed to make it out of that marriage, if you know about the extreme physical and emotional abuse that she endured. She was not supposed to make it out of that. She had tried to commit suicide on more than one occasion. She was not supposed to be alive. But yet and still, that's only the first half of the story. If you know the rest of the story, her greatest success was after Ike and Tina, when no one thought it was humanly possible, and she proved everyone in the world wrong to fill up stadiums around the world. And now that they are going to make this comic book, it's a glossy, and it's part of this company's Female Force series, which has featured previously singer Dolly Parton. So this is not the first artist or musician that this company has put in comic book form, but also Vice President Kamala Harris and former First Lady Michelle Obama. So this is a part of the Female Force series. I haven't seen it, but I'm definitely going to check it out because it interests me as far as how they try to communicate this great story, which is massive in nature, but put it in a comic book form, which is digestible and readable for most readers, regardless of age, but also try to convey the spirit of who Tina Turner is even up to this day. I don't know about you. I've only had the luxury and privilege of seeing her perform once live in person, and that was at the Greek Theater. And she's one of those rare artists. She doesn't perform anymore, but she was one of those rare artists where she gave it all every single time that you saw her. It wasn't like you caught her on an off night. You caught her at her best seemingly all the time. And I don't know if there are any artists like that today, but definitely something to check out. KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.